Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
I don't know if you're like me, but it seems like the older I get, the harder and harder it is for me to figure out what I want for Christmas. My parents ask me what I want, my kids ask me what I want, and of course my wife asks me what I want, and I find it difficult not just to come up with a list, but to even come up with one thing to put on that list. Now, this certainly was not the case when I was younger. Certainly, as a child, I always knew exactly what I wanted. When I was in preschool, the top of the list for me was a pair of cowboy boots. Now, I've shared many stories with you from my memory, but this story I do not share from memory. I share because this is a story my parents have told me over and over again. But apparently, when I was in preschool, there was a boy in my class named Bill, and Bill had a pair of cowboy boots. And so I went home, and I told my parents, I want a pair of boots like Bill. And after I asked them for this pair of boots, every single time we got in the car to go somewhere, I would ask them, are we going to get my boots? So we're going to church on a Sunday morning. Are we going to get my boots? Going to the grocery store, are we going to get my boots? Going to preschool, are we going to get my boots? I knew exactly what I wanted. But, which by the way, if you're wondering, I did eventually get those boots, all right? But now that I'm 42 years old, it seems like I don't know what to ask for. So we're in the middle of our Advent series right now titled Faithful, and as we're going through this series, We are being reminded of how God has proven himself to be faithful through Jesus Christ. Now, at the start of this year, we looked at our call to be faithful, that we would be a faithful people in all things at all times until it's all over. And I'm reminding you of this once again as we approach the end of this year, that we would be reminded of our call to be faithful. But right now, we're being reminded of how God is faithful. And as we're being reminded of God's faithfulness, we're being reminded of the different gifts that God has been faithful to provide for us through his faithful provision of Jesus Christ. Now, there are four specific gifts that we are reminded of each year as we light these Advent candles: the gift of hope, the gift of peace, the gift of joy, and this morning, the gift of love. Now, as I think about trying to come up with different Christmas gifts for myself, as I said, it's difficult for me to come up with those ideas because I don't know what to ask for because, really, I don't know what I want. But as we think about the gifts that God has provided for us through Jesus Christ, I want you to understand God has provided these gifts not because we've asked for them, but because we need them. Let me say that again. God has provided these gifts for us not because we've asked for them, but because we need them. We need this hope. We need this peace. We need this joy. We need this love. And God is the only one who can provide these things for us in the truest way that we need them. But most importantly, we need Jesus, God in the flesh, the perfect sacrifice for our sins, the salvation for our souls. We need Jesus. And Jesus came into this world all those years ago to go to the cross for us, not because we asked him to, but because we need him to. God has provided these gifts not because we've asked for them, but because we need them. And so this is just a reminder for us once again of just how faithful God really is. So as we're going through this series, we're looking at these different gifts. We're being reminded of these gifts that God has been faithful to provide for us. 3 weeks ago, we looked at the gift of hope. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the gift of peace. Last week, we looked at the gift of joy. As we look at our passage this morning, we're going to look at and be reminded of this gift of love. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me now to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We also have some Bibles in the pew directly in front of you if you want to use one of those. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 35 through 39 this morning. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Now, as you're turning there, I want to take you back to the beginning of that section, to verses 31 and 32. And I want to begin with what we see there at the start of verse 31. Verse 31 begins with a question. What then are we to say about these things? Now, leading up to verse 31, throughout chapter 8, we have these reminders for the believer that Christ has set us free from our sin, that the Holy Spirit has made us co-heirs with Christ, sharing in His victory, and that Christ knew us, called us, and through His cross justified us. Ultimately, we are being reminded of God's goodness, faithfulness, and love. And so as we have these reminders of God's goodness, faithfulness, and love, we're reminded, or we have this question, what then are we to say about these things? In other words, God's goodness, faithfulness, and love demands a response from us. This is not something that we are just to passively understand. Rather, we are to respond to this understanding of God's goodness, faithfulness, and love. What then are we to say about these things? Now, this passage is really directed towards the believer, but I would say the same is true for unbelievers as well. God's goodness, faithfulness, and love demands a response from the unbeliever as well. Recognizing the victory and the freedom that is received through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, recognizing the salvation that is provided from our sins through Jesus Christ, the unbeliever must either turn from their sins, receiving this gift of God's love, this new life in Christ, or they must reject this gift, turning away from God's love and continuing to walk in their sin, continuing to be condemned by their flesh. There really is no middle ground for us. God's goodness, faithfulness, and love demands a response. And if you're here today and you would say you've never come to know Jesus as Lord, then I want you to know God's goodness, faithfulness, and love demands a response once again from you today. Now, for the believer, Paul goes on to tell us what we are to say about these things, how we are to respond. As we continue verse 31 and look at verse 32, Paul says this, "If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all." I want you to understand, if you are a believer, God is for you. The one who existed before all of creation, the one who made creation come into existence with just a single word, the one who sits enthroned above all things, if you're a believer, God is for you. Now understand, this statement is not a rubber stamp from God to imply that we can do anything we want and that God is for us in those things. In other words, God is not for us in our sin. God is not for us in our rebellion. God is not for us in our fleshly pursuits. Rather, we're reminded that God is for us to the extent that He sent Jesus into this world to die for us on the cross, that we might be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And so if we have experienced this forgiveness, redemption, and reconciliation through Jesus Christ, then we have also experienced this promise that God is for us. And so if you are a believer, once again, God is for you. Now, if this is true, if God is truly for us, then who is against us? And I would reword it to say this, just for understanding purposes. If God is for us, it doesn't matter who is against us. If God is on our side, or really, truly, if we're on His side, it doesn't matter who is on the other side. Now, I don't know about you, but I like being liked by people. Maybe that's a character flaw, but I like being liked. And so I would say this, it can hurt when I feel like I've hurt someone, when I feel like there's a damaged relationship with someone, when there's a disagreement, when I feel like someone doesn't like me. But what I've learned over the years as a leader is that even though people may like me a majority of the time, those times still come. Disagreements still happen. Hurt still happens from time to time. And I would say that the same is true, not just for us as leaders, but for us as believers. Even if we are liked a majority of the time as believers, those times still come. There are times that people still come against us. There are times that people still say hurtful things to us. There are times that people may still want to try and take us down. And in those moments, we can either become focused on who is against us, or we can remember who is for us. And so that's my encouragement to us this morning. Let's remember who is for us. Let's not become discouraged and dismayed by those who are against us. Rather, let's become encouraged and uplifted by the one who is for us, the God above all things. So if God is for us, it doesn't matter who is against us. Now, as we think about God being for us, as we think about God reconciling us to himself through Jesus Christ, really all of this is because of his great love. In fact, Romans chapter 5, earlier on in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5, we're told that Christ's sacrifice on the cross was a demonstration of God's love for us. It is how God showed his love to us. And so we're reminded that, and so as we're reminded of God's great love for us by this reminder that God is for us, Paul goes on to say, he goes on to talk about just how great God's love for us really is. And we're going to see more of God's great love as we read our passage now. So with that in mind, let's read verses 35 through 39 of Romans chapter 8. It says, "Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So as we look at this passage, I want to start by looking at that question that we see there in verse 35. Verse 35 asks this question: who can separate us from the love of Christ? Now, that phrase, love of Christ, it means God's love that is shown to us through Christ, through the cross. Now, the Greek word that's used there for love is the word agape. That word might be familiar to some of you. The word agape, love, it's not to be understood as a brotherly love. It's not to be understood as a romantic love. Agape love is to be understood as a committed, faithful, intentional love. It is an act of will. In other words, it is a faithful love. Now, while a husband and wife should absolutely have a romantic type love for one another, if you're married, I hope y'all have a romantic type love for one another. While we should have a romantic type love, this agape love is really what we are called to have for our spouse. That we would have an intentional love, that we would have a faithful love, that we would have a committed love, that we would say, even on our worst days, or really maybe even on their worst days, we're still going to be actively committed to loving our spouse. We're going to be intentional in our love, choosing to love them each and every day. This is how God's love is for us. God's love is unceasing. God's love is faithful. God's love is intentional. So there's a Christian song that's been out for a few years that, I'll be honest, I don't really like this song. And it's not because of the beat or the sound of this song. In fact, I like 99% of this song. There's just one word that I don't like in this song. It's in the title of the song too. It's called Reckless Love. And really, even though 99% of that song is spot on, I would say that word reckless ruins the song for me, because I think it's an improper understanding of God's love. I think it teaches the wrong theology. You see, reckless, it's defined as careless or even to act irresponsibly. And I don't believe that that's what Scripture teaches about God's agape love. You see, God didn't act carelessly or irresponsibly when he sent Jesus into this world all those years ago, nor did Jesus act carelessly or irresponsibly when he went to the cross. Rather, this is what I would say. When it came to loving you and loving me, God counted the cost. Jesus counted the cost. He knew exactly what he was getting himself into. And he went to the cross anyways, purposefully, intentionally. God counted the cost. He didn't throw caution to the wind. Rather, in his great love, this agape love, God faithfully and intentionally sent Jesus first to the manger and then to the cross that we might be redeemed. God's love is not reckless. God's love is intentional. God's love is faithful. And so I would ask you today, do you have this love from God, this faithful love, this intentional love? I want you to understand, God absolutely loves you. But have you received this love by surrendering to Jesus Christ as Lord? Do you have this love? And if you don't, then my prayer is that you wouldn't even wait until Christmas morning to receive this gift of love, but that you would receive this gift even today through Jesus Christ. Now, if you have received this gift of love, if you're a Christ follower, then I want you to understand you have a love that is greater. You have a love that is greater because you have God's love. And so there are a few things in this passage that I want you to see this morning that God's love is greater than. First, God's love is greater than dangers or difficulties. Let's look at the rest of verse 35 now and through verse 37. It says, "Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." God's love is greater than dangers or difficulties. Now, it's important to remember that Paul was writing this letter to believers in Rome. And not only do we see this in Scripture, but we also see this throughout history that in Rome, Christians were greatly persecuted. Christians in Rome, followers of Christ, they were seen as both political threats and religious threats because followers of Christ would not simply bow down to any political authority. They knew that they had a higher authority to submit to. And so they wouldn't just submit to anyone because they submitted to Christ. But they also wouldn't just bow down to any of the gods in Rome, which there were many false gods in Rome. And so they refused to bow down to these false gods of Rome. And so followers of Christ, they were seen as threats that needed to be dealt with. And so as Christians were being persecuted, as Christians were being afflicted, as Christians were being starved and even put to death, you can imagine that maybe some doubts might have crept into their minds, and maybe they might have even thought, maybe God doesn't really love me. You know, I think if we're honest with ourselves, we might experience some of those feelings as well when we go through difficult times, especially when it seems like the difficulties are just stacking on top of each other, one right after the other. We might experience that same thought, maybe God doesn't really love me. But I want you to hear me this morning. The dangers and difficulties that we go through, the hardships that we face in this life, they aren't a sign that God doesn't love us. Rather, dangers and difficulties are opportunities for God's love to bring us through. Let me say that again. The hardships that we face in this life, they aren't a sign that God doesn't love us. Rather, dangers and difficulties are opportunities for God's love to bring us through. And this is so important for us to grab hold of because what I've seen many times throughout my course in full-time ministry is that as people go through difficulties, as people go through hardships, and it seems like they're stacking up on top of each other, what I've noticed is that not always, but many times, people, instead of leaning into God's love, they will withdraw, they will retreat, and they'll try to get through it in their own strength. But I want you to understand, the strength of God's love is greater. It's greater than our own strength, but it's also greater than whatever difficulty we might be going through. The strength of God's love is greater. And so I would encourage you, if you're going through a hard time, if you're going through a difficulty, don't withdraw from God's love. Instead, of lean into his love and let his love carry you through. God's love is greater than dangers or difficulties. Second, God's love is greater than life and death. Let's look at the first part of verse 38 and the last part of verse 39. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life," jump down to the end of verse 39 now, "will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's love is greater than life and death. Now, again, believers in Rome, they were being persecuted, afflicted for their faith. So suffering in this life for their faith in Christ was a very real threat for them. But also, dying for their faith in Christ was a very real threat as well. And so Paul gives this reminder to them that whether they're going to suffer in this life for their faith or whether they die for their faith, that neither of those things could separate them from the love of God. Now, as we think about death, death seems so final to us. Death seems like a separation to us because we have such a finite understanding and experience with death. You know, when I was growing up, my grandparents, they owned a house across the street from us. It was more of a vacation home for them, but they would spend months at a time at this house. And so in the summertime, when I was in high school, I'd be asleep on a Saturday morning, and my grandma, she would come in and she'd pull the covers off me and say, "Get up, let's go walking." And so I'd get up, put my clothes on, and we'd go for a walk before the heat of the day. And as I think about those walks, I'm reminded of the love that she had for me, the love that I had for her. But in 2008, my grandma passed away, and so those walks don't happen anymore. For a time, right, there's this separation between us. Death has separated us. But as we think about the love of God, we're reminded that neither life nor death can separate us from his love. Because God's love is eternal. God's love is unending. And so we experience his love as we walk through, as we walk with God through this life. But when we die, that walk with God doesn't come to an end. Instead, we get to experience that walk with him in an even greater way. We get to experience that love with him in an even greater way, because when we die, we get to experience it in his presence. So death cannot separate us from the love of God, because God's love is eternal. So God's love is greater than dangers or difficulties. It's greater than life or death. Finally this morning, God's love is greater than height or depth. Let's look at all of verse 38 and verse 39 now. It says, "For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height or depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's love is greater than height or depth. So back in 2019, a man by the name of Curtis Whitson, he took his girlfriend and his 13-year-old son hiking. And they hiked up to the top of a waterfall, and when they got up there, they found themselves in a predicament. They were kind of stuck because the trail that they had hiked up had become unsafe for them to go back down, but they also couldn't go down the waterfall. And they were out of range of any cell tower, and so they couldn't call anyone. And so the only thing that they could think of was a message in a bottle. So they pulled out a sheet of paper and a water bottle, and they wrote, "We are stuck here at the waterfall. Get help." And they put that piece of paper in the water bottle and they sent it down the waterfall. And so, thankfully, for their sake, it only took a few hours for some other hikers to run across that bottle to read the note and to contact authorities who would later come and airlift them to safety. As we see this reminder from Paul that neither height nor depth can separate us from the love of God, we are reminded that we are never out of range of God's love. There's nowhere we can go that God's love can't get to. There's nowhere we can hide that God's love can't find us. We are never out of range of God's love. And this is good news, because we may not hike to spots that we don't belong, but sometimes, like sheep, we go astray. and we find ourselves in maybe heights or depths that are too great for us. But while they may be too great for us, they are never too great for God's love. God's love is always bringing us back to repentance. God's love is always drawing us back, always calling us back to Him. We're never out of range of God's love. It is a love that is greater than height or depth. And so we come back to this question, what can separate us from the love of Christ? And the answer is absolutely nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ because His love is greater. And this love, it really is a gift. And it is a gift that we only get to experience because we serve a God who is faithful, and He faithfully provided Jesus Christ into this world all those years ago. And so my encouragement to us this Advent season is that we would be reminded of God's faithfulness as we walk in and as we experience this love each and every day. Now, if you don't have this gift of love because you've never surrendered to Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song, and as we sing, this is going to be your opportunity to respond. And I said it already, but God's goodness, faithfulness, and love, it demands a response from us. We will either receive it or we will reject it. And if you're here today and you need to receive God's love through Jesus Christ, you need to surrender to Him as Lord, I would say don't reject this gift. Receive it today. Surrender your life to Christ this morning. If you need to make that decision, I'd love to talk with you or pray with you. I'm going to be standing right down front. You can come and grab me and talk with me. We had someone respond in the first service, so I'd love to see someone respond in here this morning. And maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism to make my faith in Christ public like Brandon and Shana have. If you need to make that commitment this morning to make your faith in Christ public through baptism, I'd love to talk with you as well. Love to get you on the schedule. Now maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, and I know that it's time for me to make this my church home. Don't wait any longer. If God's called you here to be a part of this church, then let's make that official. Come and be a part of this church body here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.